She received her MA in English Literature from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, then her MFA in Creative Writing from right here at UTEP, and she is currently a PhD student in the Department of Spanish and Portuguese at the University of Colorado at Boulder. My guest is speaking with us from Boulder, Laura Cesarco Eglin, and congratulations, Laura, on your new book, Tailor Shop Threads. It's good to speak with you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Yes. Now, explain the nature of this particular book.
Mm-hmm. Tailor Shop Threads is a chapbook that mm-hmm. is coming out late February from Finishing Line Press. And the poems in this chapbook are translations from 23 poems from my second book called Sastreria, which came out in 2011 from Shauguruf Press.
And now you have an earlier book, Llamar al Agua por su Nombre.
Right.
And that was Mouthfeel here
yes.
in El Paso. Now, I was interested to find that you are currently editor of Mouthfeel
yes.
Press.
Yeah.
How nice. So
yeah.
you're maintaining your connection to us, to El Paso, through Mouthfeel.
Yeah, totally.
I'm so glad. Do you think you'll return to El Paso?
I hope so.
Oh, good. Good, good. Well, I learned a lot about you in reading this particular collection of poems. Why don't we begin, if you would, by reading one of your poems, and then we'll examine where it comes from.
Okay, so I'm going to read The Tailor. It's the second poem in this chapbook, mm-hmm. The Tailor. With an eye for measurement, he calculated the size of man. He cut where it needed to be cut. Not only slashes in the fabric, but vision seamed in the tailoring. A fabric reveals him as apprentice in Lithuania, his career in seams. Other fabrics he tied to his feet to unbalance the march toward death. Crude fruit footprints in the winter. He finished learning how to cut in Rome, the Italian in the scissors with the blades to the fabric, to create the Italian tailor shop and ocean in between. In Montevideo, he tailored a Sono io, Eglini, for the Chi è l'Italiano? A self-made man. The measuring tape on the shoulder, the glasses on the nose. He could sew himself an afterwards. To know how to cut a disaster in words. To make. The seams don't show, but they are there, like rails on a railroad track.
Mm. It reveals so much about the theme of this book. I knew from speaking with you earlier that you had family in Uruguay.
Right.
This, if you'll pardon the metaphor, tore open a whole seam of your life, of your past, that I was unaware of. Tell us about it.
This chapbook, and Sastreria in particular, revolves around the theme of memory. One of the aspects of memory that I deal with is memory of something that I haven't experienced, like the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the granddaughter of two survivors of the Holocaust. One of them is my grandfather, Eglin, and he was he's still alive, but he doesn't practice anymore, so he was
mm-hmm.
a tailor.
Okay.
And I think that I have inherited this profession, but I have renegotiated it into becoming a poet.
Oh, it shows the perfection, the match, the overlap of the words and the acts and of tailoring, of the sewing, the working with fabric.
Working with pieces.
Yes.
And choosing and mm-hmm. sewing and making something not unlike what factories do. A tailor makes a suit for an individual,
mm-hmm.
tailoring and catering for specific needs. Well, for example, memory works in the same way. It picks pieces and chooses from the past and sews it together into a different narrative. And poetry is the best place to do that because a poem is where you can learn things and go to places that you can't in ordinary life.
Well, you can nip and tuck and customize in
yeah.
poetry.
Inertia doesn't work. You have to negotiate things and rethink and rediscover and retell and, you know?
Well, this particular book, just to get into the creation of it, bringing it to publication, you had a partner in, I have to say, the art of translation, especially when it comes to poetry. Tell me about your partner in that.
Teresa Williams is my partner. She is in this translation project. She and I both translated the poems. Some of them I translated and she edited, and some of them she translated and I edited.
So she lives in Seattle, so this was a long distance back and forth.
Right. We've never met.
Oh, my.
This has been, so it's been an interesting experience how we both got intimate with the poems and with the translations. And again, it also had to do with a negotiation of art, like you said.
Now, she apparently is a psychotherapist in private practice. Do you feel that that had any effect on her work as a translator?
I think that the fact that she's a poet herself has an effect on her translation.
Yes. Okay.
Because it's not enough to just know the two languages.
Mm-hmm.
She knew how to read the poems.
Yes, yes, yes. And you have some lovely work on the cover.
Oh, that, I love it too. And Pedro Pérez del Solar, he's a professor at UTEP in the Spanish department, the Language and Linguistics department. And he's an amazing illustrator as well. And he did this for us. I sent him the chapbook, and this is his poem.
Oh, another nice connection to El Paso. So that was nice to see. Now, you not only use Hebrew words, for which you provide a glossary. Thank you so much. I really was glad when I came to the end of the book to see that there was a brief glossary that made me a lot smarter than I am as far as insight to some of the Hebrew references. And then you actually use Hebrew text in smatterings. Tell me about your decisions to do that.
The reason why I used it, for example, it depends on the poem, but for example, in Kaddish and Rachamim, Kaddish and Rachamim are two different prayers. So I use part of those prayers in my poem, although I, again, negotiate the meaning of those words or of those phrases, and I hope no one's offended.
Oh, I think your poetics give you lots of latitude, because for someone like me who does not necessarily understand the subtleties of the language, it's wonderful that you have this extra depth for the people who do have a deeper understanding. So I like that. I like the layering.
And both these prayers talk about names, either sanctifying the name of God or the name of the deceased. And in this poem, I'm talking about how in my family, names have repeated themselves but changed language.
Ah, all right.
Like, for example, my mom's name is Ana Sara in Spanish, but she is named after two people, one of them called Hane in Yiddish and the other one called Sore. So in a way, these names and the way they've changed is a lineage, but at the same time, something has been changed and modified. So, memory, right?
Yes.
The narrative goes on, but always differently.
This is a beautifully tailored, pardon the term, but it's a wonderfully woven piece of work with a lot of layers in its obvious references and then more subtle references. I congratulate you on this latest book, Tailor Shop Threads. My guest today coming to us from Boulder, Colorado, Laura Cesarco Eglin. And you can find her new book. It'll be out late February from Finishing Line Press. You can just search by author or title and find it at finishinglinepress.com. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Laura.
Thank you very much.